afternoon.
So what would you say your offensive identity is now after four games?
Pounding ground, no. That's what you want, right? All right, that's my answer. No, I think it's a, you know, every week you try to go in and you try to establish your run game. That's the first thing you got to try to do. And if you can do that, it'll open up a little play action pass. It'll open up some shots down the field. You know, and that's kind of where you want to start. And then for us these last couple of weeks, you know, our running game is just it's been a combination of you know, great game planning by Coach Stoutland, you know, the desire and the will and the want to by the offensive line, you know, with tight ends and quarterback Carson being a part of that, you know, and then just execution on game day, and you know, it's just all combinations of that. But you know, we want to go in, establish that run, play action pass with Carson, being able to move him around a little bit. Is sort of the direction that I think our offense needs to go in.
You mentioned the offensive lineman and Coach Stoutland. Do you believe that it took a little bit longer for your offensive line to gel because of injuries early in preseason and late in preseason? I think your offensive line only had, you know, one quarter of work together in a preseason game, and it's not entirely reconstituted, but it is a little bit different.
Yeah, I think that's accurate. You know, the offensive line has to play, and we talk about this as coach, they have to play as a unit. They have to play as one. And when you have injuries, when the guys aren't playing together that long, you know, there's going to be some disruption, you know, up front, the timing of blocks. You know, we saw it a little bit in the first game, the Washington game, with some of the not so much the assignment errors, but just the timing of blocks. And what you're seeing now is all that coming together. These are the same runs that we've always used. We just window dress them a little bit differently, present them a little bit differently to the defense. But the timing, the accuracy, the pinpoint, the blocking, things that we work on during the week are starting to pay off.
Hold on. As far as Stoutland goes, how valuable has he been to you, you know, last year and this year, both considering all the fluctuations you had? You didn't play with your right tackle for a long time last year. You're rotating guards. And does he have autonomy in the guard rotation? Does he decide who goes in where and things like that?
Yeah, these are all, you know, when it comes to the guards, you know, it's conversations that he and I have, and we have a plan going into the game, and then I just leave it up to him, you know, to rotate those guys in there. And speaking of those two, you know, one man's strength is another man's weakness, and vice versa. And so you get the combination of a lot of good things there. So that's worked out extremely well for us, and we get the best of both worlds up front. And the timing is, and the they haven't missed a beat, you know, up front. But that's been a pleasant and obviously, you know, exciting for us these last couple of weeks in that run game.
There were three third and longs, eight to 13, where you ran the ball, got a field goal. Was that just faith in Jake? Was that just kind of the situation? I mean, it kind of seemed like it went against your aggressive nature, where you might fire the ball in those situations.
Yeah, you know, I go back and I study, our past, my past, as far as play calling in those situations, and what you find out is that defenses know that too, obviously, and so for me, based on field position where we are, sometimes you see, and we've seen it week in, week out, even around the league, is a third and 10 and you run the ball and you get 11, 12, 13 yards. So for me, it was a little bit of a, you know, maybe throwing them a curveball a little bit to run the ball in those situations, and then at the same time wanting to gain positive yards, obviously knowing that you know, you're in field goal range and potentially have the points, and you don't ever want to give those points up.
Doug, your defense has allowed 52 points in the fourth quarter of the last three games. Have you been able to identify, in watching the film, at least from this last game, some common thread?
Well, you know, we've had our share of injury, obviously, particularly in the back end. And again, not to use that as an excuse, but you know, young players are playing, and things are gonna happen a little bit faster for them. And it's something that we just got to continue to evaluate. The, you know, there's always seems to be one or two big plays, chunk plays, in the game that we have to try to eliminate, whether it be linebackers getting off blocks to not have a long run, or you know, secondary eyes in the right spot, being in the right position, things of that nature. And those are all things that are fixable and correctable. And I guess on the flip side of that is offensively, we've been able to score late in these games to keep leads and to finish the game that way.
Do you feel like there's a conditioning aspect there? I think it was 14 points against the Chiefs in the fourth quarter, 24 against the Giants, and then whatever, 14 yesterday.
I don't think so. I don't think it's much of a conditioning aspect. I mean, it was, you know, obviously it was really warm at the Giants game, and in that game offensively we kind of shot ourselves a little bit in that third and a little bit of the end of the third, fourth quarter, and kept our defense out there a little bit. And look, I mean, you know, we had, I think, 74 plays yesterday to our defense's 53, so we're keeping our guys fresh. So I don't think it's a conditioning.
Veteran player like Torrey Smith, who's struggling a little bit, how differently do you handle that as opposed to when you have a rookie or a young player who's going through the same type of thing?
I think with a veteran player, it is different. You just keep firing the ball at him. You keep shooting, and that's something we'll continue to do. Keep him in the mix. Keep him coming. He's a guy that works extremely hard during the week, and he'll get that fixed.
Doug, it's past 2 weeks you've spoken about the growth of the team from last year, but you also have a lot of newcomers who are making big contributions. Alshon, Derek, Chris Long, down the list. How much is that a part of it? The upgrades or additions compared to last year?
Those are very helpful, beneficial, because they're big impact to what we're doing and the success we've had. This early part of the season. And you know, and the other thing too is, these are veteran players who have been on, in Chris's case, has been on championship teams. They know how to work. They know how to practice. They know how to prepare. And that's what that's what you want. You want those types of guys in and around your football team. And so we got a good group of veteran leadership players that way that have really bought into, whether it's whatever I'm speaking about or selling, but they're buying into each other, and that's key.
You gave Corey Clement, excuse me, a couple of carries, like third and short, late in the fourth quarter and everything. You know, and you picked up the first down each time. What was it like to, trust him in such a key situation? What made you do it?
Yeah, he's been a real bright spot since we got him, and, again, he's one of those guys that runs extremely aggressively and hard, and goes all the way back to OTAs and really into training camp. And listen, I trust all our players, quite honestly. Obviously I trust our kicker, Jake, putting him out there in those situations. So it's no different with Corey. I'm going to put him in those situations. And he did an outstanding job when called upon again yesterday. And we'll continue to grow that area with him and keep him coming.
Do you know about how much of the 74 plays you mentioned that were sniff offensive plays, how much of them were run-pass options?
Yeah, off the top of my head, first play of the game was. I bet you I'd go in probably 10, 12 plays.
Is that more this year than you did last year?
No, it's probably down, quite honestly. It's probably down just a little bit. And we've changed a little bit. I don't want to say change, but the read option part is still the same. But the concept, the route combination, teams are really catching up to bubble slants and some of the college stuff that you're seeing, and so we're getting a little more creative with more down the field throws that have really benefited us in the last couple of weeks.
There were times last year where it seemed like Carson was, especially early in games, maybe trying to do too much, make plays when they weren't there. Do you sense that he's improved in that area, not trying to force things when they're not there?
Oh, most certainly. He's learned to understand the situation, what we're trying to get, what we're trying to gain, obviously, pulling the ball down, running if he needs to, finding a back or a tight end, check down situations, but guys in the flat, and as far as just keeping him coming with the things we do offensively, with the checks and the getting us in and out of protections and runs to pass, pass to runs. You know, we continue to grow that area. And it all comes down to his study and preparation, obviously. And anything he does at the line of scrimmage is something that we've either talked about or repped during the week. So it's just not pulling something out of a hat. You know, he's prepared, and we have a plan going into each game that way.
Carson's throws down the field in this game.
Yeah, I thought definitely worked on it all week, last week. The accuracy was there, had opportunities a couple of times to come up with some big plays. Made a nice throw to Nelson, you know, for a big, big gain there on that first drive to get us to the touchdown. And it's coming, and it's, you know, it's continually a work in progress, things we continue to work on during the week. But I thought overall accuracy down the field, ball might not have been caught, but the accuracy, the location of the throw was right on.
Heading into that game, you were leading the league in time of possession, and then yesterday you had it for like 39 minutes, obviously, with seven-minute drive. You can't help that.
6:44.
Has that been a point of emphasis? Are you trying to shorten the game, or is
it? No, you know, no. It's not a point of emphasis. I think it's a credit to our guys. I think too, we're one of the top offenses in three and outs, not having three and outs, you know, which is very beneficial. We're staying on the field, and then our third down conversion rate has been good, and we've been able to stay on the field. So all that is part of the time of possession, you know, and then of course the run game, being patient there, and yesterday was an example. We got a few more chunk play runs, you know, but at the same time, it all kind of factors into time of possession.
You mentioned a lot of the third downs.
Punt on fourth and one. Was that one where the math said to punt, or was it sort of 50-50 and you just went with your gut?
Yeah, you know, it was a minute and 4.5 at the minus 49-yard line, and we were up 9. So it was a no-brainer. Punt, flip the field. Yeah. Yes.
You guys had some success on that slot fade. You mentioned that Aguilar, and I think Ertz had one that Carson put on him. Is that something you thought was going to be open you guys?
Yeah, something we saw on tape, you know, studying them. And, the Chargers, they're primarily a zone team, but they, in certain situations they play a little more single high man, and we took advantage of one with Nelson's throw and catch there. And then with Ertz a couple times, those were actually designed play action passes, again, to take advantage of, you know, downhill second level defenders and then get matched up on safeties and it was just good execution on their part.
I'm sorry, you had said this offseason that because you felt a little more comfortable in the second year that you'd maybe stick your beak into the defensive side of things a little more. What are some of the examples of where you've done a little more, you've walked over that side of the building?
Yeah, I mean, it's just conversations with Jim, you know, during the week, number one. Understanding game plan, you know, defensively, how they're going to attack, how he's going to attack, you know, the opponent. Watching them, you know, obviously in practice, talking with the players even, you know, on defense about certain schemes and, you know, things of that nature. And then as it leads up to game day, just kind of listening in and, Jim, listen, he's called a ton of defenses in the NFL, and he does a great job at it. And my job is to kind of stay out of the way and let him run the show over there. So, but it's more during the week where we talk and have those conversations based on how they're going to attack an opponent.
So if you keep Isaac Samalo involved and engaged while he's going through this.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing is just the reps he's getting now, service team, obviously, and keep him plugged in, keep him coming, and he understands. Listen, it's a one play, and he's back in their mentality. So we just keep him coming. We sprinkle him in there and keep him at, you know, the guard and center position. Keep working him there and just plug him in. And he's been a a pro's pro at this. I mean, he's, you know, he comes to work every day ready to go, and he wants to be coached and wants to get better.
Do you expect Fletcher Cox to be able to practice this week?
Yeah, going into this week, you know, he obviously didn't go to L.A. and he stayed back and got the treatment on it. So he's progressing. So I'm hoping that he practices Wednesday, but we'll see where he's at on that day.
After the game, when you spoke about Blunt's run, the first thing you mentioned was Ertz's block. He mentioned that 5 years ago. That's not a play he's in the game for. How much has he?
Talking about Zach now.
Zach, yeah. Yes. In the 2 years he's worked with him, how much has he grown as a run blocker, and how big a part of his game is that?
You know, that's the one thing that I appreciate about Zach is, you know, I think he's gotten a bad rap, obviously, about his run blocking, and he understands that, and he's gotten stronger. He prides himself in getting better. And listen, we know that, you know, he's not going to be the primary guy all the time. And, you know, listen, it's hard to ask even the best tight ends to block some of these DNs and outside linebackers today in the National Football League, because it's a mismatch. And you know, he's worked on it. Justin Peel has done a great job of detailing the work, and you know, it was probably a weakness of his last year, those cutoff blocks, but now he's getting his head across. His steps are better, and he's really improved, but he's taking that to heart and getting it better. Okay. Oh.
Tell me how it felt for you and the team when you came out on the field yesterday and saw so many Eagles fans there.
Yeah, it was exciting. You know, it was exciting to see. Even I was on the field when they opened up the stadium gates and it just flooded in, you know, the sea of green. And it was great to see all game long. They were loud. They were noisy. It was our fans travel extremely well, obviously. And it was great for our guys. Guys were able to feed off of that. Yeah. Thanks, guys.